This is Anderson Penn's podcast, episode 22 for Sunday, October 21st, 2012. This is Brian.
This is Lisa.
This is the Anderson Penn's Radio Network. Welcome.
Thank you from us. Okay. Just to get you in the mood. Just
completely, I wasn't even expecting that.
Yeah, I know. I was practicing.
Okay.
It's a whole lot of twos up there. Episode 22, October 21,
2012. It's 10/21/2012.
I think we should play the lottery with twos or something today.
Okay.
Or buy two pens.
I'm done with that.
I thought you might be.
I mean, I'm just for the sake of experimentation. Okay. Yesterday, I was on the FP Geeks TV broadcast with Dan Smith and Stephen Brown. It's always a good time to be on the show with those guys. We had a lot of fun talking about new pens from Omas, Montegrappa, and the Roshizuku inks that are coming up new in December. But during the conversation, which always includes talk of upcoming pen shows, it was noted that Dan was not going to be able to make the upcoming Ohio Pen Show, which is in just a little over 2 weeks from now.
2 weeks. Wow, that's coming up fast.
Two and a half. I'll give you a little bit of credit.
All right. Don't panic me here.
Nope.
All right. So at this point in the show, we decided that here at Anderson Pens that we just couldn't let that happen. That's just a travesty. Ohio is one of the premier vintage shows in the country, and with two auctions, lots of events involving food, such as the awesome pizza party by Pendemonium and the dessert party, the wine and cheese party. It's also one of the most fun. It's really, really well run. So we decided it was time to initiate our Sponsor a Geek program.
Lisa and I decided that Anderson Penns really needed to underwrite this event so that Dan Smith can travel to Columbus and immerse himself in that which is this fantastic pen show. We know he's going to have a great time, and we really look forward to seeing him.
Yep. I fondly call this the Send an FP Geek to Columbus project. Yep. Sort of like Feed the Children. It's Send the Geek.
Feed the Children.
I don't know. Something like that.
Okay.
You know, everybody has a project, you know, with a cute little slogan. You know, Feed the Children, Save the...
So do we need to have like a little graphic or something maybe?
I think we do, like a crown on the map of the U.S. kind of showing the route.
Put it on the back of a Acura or something. Yeah, no, the map is good. The map is good.
Yeah, just, you know, the crown like halfway on the route to Columbus. I think that would be cute.
Maybe we need to get Dan to use Twist and then we can somehow twist Dan's location.
Or map my ride or something.
Yeah, something. So
could, like the pen world could follow Dan as he travels from his home to Columbus, Ohio.
Wow. Okay.
We have too much time on our hands or something. I don't know.
Totally unscripted.
Awesome.
It's a great show. I talk about all the time about how Ohio is just really it's a fantastic vintage show, and it's, I don't want to call it small. It's not a small show by any stretch of the means, but the feeling you get when you go to Ohio is it's a real close-knit group of people. You know, you have these parties at pizza and the wine and cheese, and it doesn't feel like a big show. It's just, but
it is.
It's huge.
Absolutely. The ballroom, the big ballroom is stuffed.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. It's probably worked its way. I would say in the last 5-10 years, it's, you know, outside of DC, it's one of the top shows.
Yep. So. In fact, we heard from Terry yesterday, there are 100 exhibitors and 160 tables.
Yeah.
Probably more by the time we all get there.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, he always does his best to fit everybody in. So there may even be, you know, squeezing a table in here or there in the outer hall. And, you know, what can you say? Two auctions?
awesome. Brian's in heaven.
Yeah. So
I'm always on alert because he just kind of slides the auction number up in the far hand so I can't see it. And we have a good time.
A couple of years ago, and we won't talk too much more about this because we'll talk about it. We'll get there. But I know a couple of years ago, we had some auction where I don't remember which one it was, and I don't remember what the item was, but we were bidding on something. And then I try to play it cool and say, okay, well, you know, we got to make money before we buy things. And so I went up to my limit, and then Lisa just looked at me, snatched the number out of my hand and raised it up.
Just buy the damn thing.
So that happens. And I think one year we actually had two numbers of the same. We had two different numbers. We
actually both raised our number.
Yeah. So anyway, lots of fun. We'll talk more about that later. But speaking of vintage, this week I thought maybe we would talk about one of my favorite pen brands, the Diamond Point. And actually, there's two reasons for me to talk about this. One is it's particularly interesting, and then the second I'll get to in a bit. It does relate to pen shows. But Diamond Point had at one point what they call their famous Diamond Point safety clip. Now, back in the day, when it was not standard fare for companies to have a clip on the pen, makers like Aiken Lambert and even Van Valkenburg sported add-on clips that you could buy for your brand, your fountain pen. So it's just a little display on the pen sales counter. And for an extra, you know, 10, 15 cents or whatever it was at the time, you could buy an add-on clip so you could put your pen in your pocket.
Don't you wish you could get clips like that for 10 cents now?
I know, right? A Van Valkenburg clip? Oh, man.
That'd be awesome.
Well, Diamond Point saw this really kind of as an opportunity, and they came out with a new pen called the Safety Clip. So not only did they actually make an add-on clip, a new clip, but they named this the model number, and they stamped their barrels Diamond Point Safety Clip. They knew people are buying these clips anyway, so why not make it themselves and you know, make a whole pen out of it and make some extra money? So in my experience, these pens are all eyedroppers. And most you find are going to have, here's an example of one here. This particular one's got a couple of gold bands, but it's got, essentially it looks like an extra slip-on clip. Most of them are going to have plain, simple tabs like this particular example. But the original patent design was a little different, and it was for the tabs to be actually diamond-shaped.
That's cool.
As you can see on this, if you can see here. One side says Diamond Point, and the other side says Safety Clip. Now, on these pens, each pen has what appears to be, this one's maybe a better example, an extra breather hole right here on the cap. But what that is, actually, it's a spot for the top of the clip.
Line up?
It sits in that hole.
Oh, cool.
So really what it does is it stabilizes this clip so it doesn't slide up and down like your typical clip could have been. So it's really an interesting pen, I think. The other reason I brought this topic up is it relates to pen shows. Now, this particular pen here, I bought in Chicago, I don't know how many years back. If I sat down and thought about it, I probably could figure it out, but it doesn't matter. And I bought it. It was in somebody's junk box. It had no clip. It had no nib. But the cap and barrel are nice. So I think I paid 15 or 20 bucks for it. It wasn't much.
You like those pens with no nibs. You seem to find those. Just saying.
Like this one?
Yeah. Oh, it's beautiful. All I need is the nib and the clip nib and some other vital organ.
Well, but you know,
you're in heaven.
In pen collecting, you have to have vision. So
I envision a full pen.
And in this case, the vision was maybe I'll find a clip for it and someday I'll be able to find a nib for it. So now the nice thing about the Diamond Point is a lot of them used plain warranted 14 karat nibs. So they didn't stamp their name on it. And so that part's easy to find. The clip, not so much. Good luck. But I picked it up anyway. I thought, well, that's, you know, it's a cool pen. It's got gold bands. I like that kind of stuff. And I'm sitting, and I think it was at Stuart Hawkinson's table. If you don't know Stuart, we've talked about him before. He makes these days mandrels and repair supplies for fixing Parker 51, 61 caps, dent removal kits. Very, very nice tools. He makes a couple other tools that he makes. And if you're into repair, he's the guy. Go to his table and invest in the tools.
And he's so nice.
He is. He's a so super nice guy.
So knowledgeable and so sweet.
Yeah. And in fact, I just had a couple emails with him this week. And he's making some mandrels for me that I'm going to pick up when we see him in Columbus. But I'm just chatting with him, and he's also an Esterbrook collector. And we're talking, and I look down on his table, and he's got a Parker ringtop that has, unbelievably, a diamond point safety clip on it. So I point to it, and I show him the pen that I got. And he smiles, and he pulls the Parker up, kind of bends the tabs, pulls it off, and hands it to me. So now I've bought this pen. I miraculously found the clip. And not 15, 20 minutes later, I go over to somebody else's table. All I got to do now is find a nib for it, find one that fits. And now we have a full pen. So
woo.
That's just kind of an example of what you can do at a pen show. So
especially a vintage show.
Yeah.
Where you can find all sorts of parts or parts pens and make a pen, you know, find what you need.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now, he was happy the rest of the day.
This is pretty exceptional that I was actually able to find the clip, but you don't know. You have no idea what you're going to find. So sometimes it's worth it to buy that pen that doesn't have all the parts, and you know, you never know what you're going to find. So anyway, that's Diamond Point for the week.
Cool.
They're interesting pens, and maybe we'll talk about them again in the future. So,
you do love them.
I do love them. And speaking of hard rubber, moving on. Last week, we installed the ability to heft pulls. You know, they're just for fun, just to see what people are thinking. So we quickly put up the question, what material do you prefer for your fountain pen? And now, despite my trying to skew the pole at the last minute.
You watched this thing like, I don't know what, like you stalked the pole. I think you tried to stuff the ballot box. I don't know, because every time I heard, you're like, oh, almost close, almost barely ahead.
I did try to stuff the ballot box because at the last minute I was texting Mike seeing if he voted.
Brian Patrick, that is just not right.
Anyway, the choices were, of course, hard rubber ebonite, plastic, celluloid, acrylic, metal, or the fourth category was other. Hard rubber ebonite and the plastic category tied with 45% of the vote. Metal, 0, and really? Other was 10. So I'm curious what the other, the people who voted for other, what kind of material they're interested in. I'm sure it's some derivation of
something.
Plastic, celluloid, cotton.
I voted for plastic 6 times.
Well, that explains it.
No, I didn't. I think I voted once.
One from work, one from coffee shop.
No, I was good.
So we'll have these, we'll throw these up just for fun each week, and you know, go ahead and jump on the blog. They'll be on the upper right-hand corner. But I think this week we're going to have later this afternoon, we'll have a new poll up.
Yep. One of my personal favorites. This week's poll will be, how many bottles of ink do you own? And then I think we're going to break it down into 1 to 4, 5 to 9, 10 to 14, 15 or more, and one other answer that I tossed up there that Brian seems to like. So I refuse to answer in case my spouse sees this poll. I don't know. I like that. Personally, I'll be the first one to admit I'm in the scary, addicted to ink category. hopefully I'm not alone. So I'm either going to do 15 or more, or I refuse to answer. Just so you know.
I guess it depends on, in our case, what you count, because we do have plenty of open bottles downstairs in the basement too. So
no, I count personal.
Personal? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. My wall of ink and the other stuff floating around. So,
you know, I think
you're close up there too.
No, I don't think so. I will actually count, but I think you'll be surprised.
I'm not going to be surprised. I'm up there.
I know you are.
Anyway,
I think you should have had the fifth category for 25 and above or something.
There you go. All right.
Anyway, so
moving on.
We actually have a couple interesting things on the workbench this week.
I like the workbench stuff. Now, I've done repair in my day. Easy stuff like resacking a lever filler. That I've got down pat. But some of the more advanced repairs, I leave to the experts. I can't even figure out how to retract a snorkel, let alone how to fill it or fix it. So I'm fascinated by some of the different inner workings of various fillers, and I like to see what comes in for Brian to repair. I see him working on customer repairs, and you know, I see what comes in and what we ship out restored and headed back to the now happy owner. What also makes me laugh and cringe sometimes are the sounds I hear coming from Brian's workbench. Sometimes like a groan of frustration, hopefully not accompanied by a cracking sound.
No, that doesn't happen.
Sometimes cheers of victory. I will confess, I've even heard him talking to the pens, sort of like you might talk to a stubborn old car.
Well, yeah, now we don't have cracking pens here. That doesn't happen. But
that's usually just when I do a repair.
Doesn't happen even when you do a repair.
No, we don't. We're crack careful. Pens, but
the rule is really what it needs to be is slow and steady wins the race. This week we had a vacuumatic come in, and man, what a nightmare! This thing, you know, vacuumatic's pretty. You know, after you've done a few repairs and you start working on repairs, vacuumatic's fairly pretty simple repair. Now it can get complex. I mean, there's a lot to think about. There's a difference between doing an okay vacuumatic repair and a really good vacuumatic repair. But I had this thing soaking for a couple of days, just trying to loosen the fill unit. Just couldn't get it to come out. Finally got it out this morning, and then this is after a combination of heat, more heat. Soaking and several different vacuumatic wrenches, tools, blocks. Finally, we got the right combination and the filler released from the barrel. Now, it's very important if you intend on fixing and repairing pens to always examine several options for tools, even if they all do the same task. You never know. One particular tool may work better in certain situations than others. For vacuumatics, I recommend having at least two. One, a hand wrench, and I'll try to find it on my desk here somewhere. I don't know where it went.
It's hiding under the stack of pens.
I just had it this morning. One a regular hand wrench. That's weird. Oh, here it is. It's hiding in its proper place, actually.
Ooh.
Something similar to this that gives you full control as you grip the unit. Now that's gonna tackle 85-90% of most vac repairs. The other tool that you need to have for that remaining 10-15%. Is now this happens to be a copy of an original vacuumatic fitting block, but something like this, where you can see you've got both sizes here for standard, and then the oversized slot that you can tighten down, and then what that does is that gives you all your pressure. You don't have to worry about if you have enough pressure here. This thing you can clamp down on the filling unit, and then allow you to get more pressure. To get it off. And then this often in the case of 1942-43, the plastic filler units, this is what you're going to need because those things are a pain. They're real bare to get out. You need something to really, really tighten it down around the filling unit. So I also found out while working on these this week is the importance of having some type of material to get a better grip. While I was able to clamp down on the filler, I wasn't able to get really a strong enough grip on my other hand to firmly grip the barrel. It would, you know, keep twisting, and finally, after several tries with various pieces of rubber that were just too slippery, I did find a piece of latex that gave the right combination of flexibility and grip to do the job. So, just some thoughts when you're repairing pens, multiple tools, and you know something to grip pens without it being a tool. In this case, a piece of latex really can come in handy.
Cool. So,
this week we also have some new stuff up on the website, or some new stuff that's gonna go up pretty soon.
Very exciting stuff.
Oh my goodness, you guys are just gonna be calling our number here. First one up this week is the brand new from Pilot, the new Vanishing Point in gunmetal gray with the matte black trim.
Somebody, not me, is like enamored with this pen.
This
I'm
thing
gonna
is
check
cool.
to make sure this goes back in the box.
Well, now wait a minute. Yesterday you said I could have one.
And then you decide you didn't. So,
well, you know, we sell enough. I'll keep one for myself. These are cool. I mean, it has the
really
has
cool
the matte, the combination of the two kind of the two coolest pens they make. The gunmetal is really nice, and the matte black from the Stealth version. Really, I think makes this pen a very attractive, nice looking pen. So we have those up right now. And just this week, we added another, I guess, I don't know where we're going to put this in. It's almost a new category, but we'll slide it in under repair.
Yeah.
We're now carrying Amidex.
Yay.
Which if you don't know what this is and you're clumsy with ink, you need to be familiar with this. It's an ink and stain remover. It's the ink and stain remover, I think.
Yep.
We have it in two sizes. We have it in the one fluid ounce size. Comes in a bottle like this, and it actually comes with a toothbrush, little brush to scrub with. And then we also have more of a travel size, which comes in a little half ounce container. And then this has a built-in...
Like a mascara brush.
Yeah. Yep. So really, really works well if you have an accident in your pocket. I was thinking, you know how we have tester pens. When we get a new product, usually we have a tester pen so someone can try the pen and see how it feels in their hand.
Yeah. To test the mascara brush? What are you thinking?
I'm thinking someone comes up to the table, they ask us, oh, well, you know, what's the story behind Amidex? The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to blot ink on their shirt. Oh. And then we show them how easy it is to get the ink stain out with Amidex. How's that sound? That sound like a good idea?
Sounds like a lawsuit waiting to happen.
Probably end up being a...
We're going to get drummed out of the pen shows.
My luck, I'll pick like an attorney or something.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so that... Okay, we won't do that.
No.
Okay, all right.
What did you put in your coffee this morning?
I don't know. Maybe not enough coffee. Maybe too much coffee?
No.
The third pot, maybe? We have a big announcement.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And we've been kind of holding back on it, but I think it's time just to make the announcement. And I'll hand it over to Lisa here to reveal the good news.
Brian's pregnant.
After trying for 3 years and 11 months.
All right. No, that's not the
No.
That's not it. The Twisby Mini is about to be released. It will, I don't even know how long we've all been waiting for this.
Now, wait a minute. About to be released. Now, in Twisby speak, that usually means
Six weeks.
But in this case, we truly mean
that we will have our shipment on the way to us next week.
Yeah, we will have it in our hot little hands.
Hopefully by the weekend.
Hopefully by the end of the week, yep.
The Twisby Mini will come in three different combinations and four nibs. So that's 12, right?
Yep.
Yep. It'll come in the all-black version, black body, black cap.
Which is new. Not transparent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The all-clear demonstrator style, clear cap, clear barrel, and the black and clear, which will have a clear barrel and a black cap.
Yeah, right? I believe, I'm not 100% sure, I'm pretty positive, it'll have a black section and a black piston knob, and then the barrel will be transparent.
Yeah, so those will be available probably the end of this coming week. And are we going to pre-order these?
I believe we are. We'll send a mailer out.
Today or tomorrow?
Probably today. So if you're not on our mailing list, I'd hop on there and get your choice, because I expect that these are going to be pretty popular.
Yep. And since they're new, Twisby, I don't know how many they've made. Sometimes restocking is a challenge. Because they only make so many, they then work on other models. So if you want one, sign up for the mailing list and pre-order this baby, because they're going to go fast. Yep. Between selling them online and then taking them to Columbus, I know that we're going to be out very quickly.
We may not be able to reorder until after we get back from Columbus. So.
Yep.
So that's the big announcement, Twisby Mini, this coming week.
What else is going up on the web?
Also on the web, on the flip side of that, and I guess we should mention those are pretty inexpensive, those minis, same price as the 540s. Probably later today, we're going to throw up some real inexpensive pens, you know, like $5 each. Yep.
Good starter
pens. We're going to throw some of those up.
Yep, and we will also have some new ink swatches. As we keep moving down into the pen room, we keep finding more pens and more ink and more repair supplies. We found some more this morning, but we need to get the rest of the ink up on the site. We also do have ink samples available for all of the ink that we have in 2.5 milliliter sizes, which are quite generous and should easily give you 2 or 3 fills of the average pen.
Yep. So if you're undecided about a particular color,
get a sample.
Just get a sample. I mean, there are, most of them are $1.25 or something like that. But we're going to run a little promo from today until Thanksgiving. I guess it's November 21st, somewhere around there.
The day before Thanksgiving, that Wednesday.
Okay. For ink samples, so if you buy any 2 bottles of ink, any brand, any size, we'll throw in, get your choice of an ink sample for free. So put your sample brand and color in the notes section of the order, and we'll throw it in with your order when we ship it. Yep. So
awesome. Great All way right. to try out some ink you might be waffling on.
Yeah, instead of having a whole bottle of something you weren't sure of. And you know, in most cases, the swatches, I think, are pretty accurate, since we do them with an actual dip pen. But everybody's monitor shows a color a little bit differently. So if you're going to buy ink anyway, we're going to throw it in and you can see what it is before you actually buy a full bottle.
Yep. So, cool option.
Anything else this week?
I don't think so. I think we covered pretty much everything.
Cover everything? Okay. Comments, suggestions for topics, use your pens. Write to us at Anderson Pens, P.O. Box 732, Appleton, Wisconsin, 54912.
Or catch us online.
Email Brian at AndersonPens.net.
Or Lisa at AndersonPens.net.
We're also on Twitter, twitter.com/AndersonPens.
We are on Facebook, of course, facebook.com/AndersonPens.
Rumor has it we're on the web at AndersonPens.net.
I've heard that. And we have a blog, AndersonPens.net/blog.
And like we said, join our mailing list for advance notice of upcoming events or pre-orders. You'll find that on the main page of the website on the left-hand side. Thanks for listening to our podcast. See you next week.